Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your week out there. We're going to have some fun on this St. Patrick's Day because we got good things coming up from our entertainment. We're going to get in some other cool stuff. How many shows does it take for you to learn to like a show and all that coming up? But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. We all know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR for this Monday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody! We're not going to talk about just green food, but we are going to explore some special food eaten a lot today.
Four-leaf clovers? Potatoes? Guinness bread?
I'm not sure that last one is a real thing, but yeah. I would love to try it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, James, I want to thank you for suggesting today's topic, which relates to corned beef and cabbage. So think today about foods that we only associate with other foods. I didn't do a lot of research on this one. It's more of a personal preference kind of thing. So what are some of the foods that we only think of eating with other foods? So what are those? You know, things like grilled cheese.
I appreciate this so much, Beth. I don't know how much other people are going to, can relate to this. But this is something that I started going through this the other day. And I tried to talk about it with my mother. And she was interested for like 5 minutes. And then she kind of like just dipped out. So I, of course, bothered Beth with it. And we had some fun talking about this a little bit. Because it had happened the other day when we had probably our last cold day. And my mom made soup for my dad. And she's like, well, and she just didn't even ask us. She just made grilled cheese with it. Because in our house, that's, and I'm pretty sure most houses out there, you always associate the two. I love grilled cheese. I love a grilled cheese sandwich. But I was eating and I'm thinking, wow, it's been so long since I had one. And I'm like, well, I had it the last, when did I have it the last time? When I had soup the last time. And I just, I'm pretty sure that the only time I've ever had grilled cheese is when I'm also having soup. Then I just associate the two together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And when I thought about having, my mom mentioned, well, you know, it's really good in the summer. And you know, she was talking about her and her sisters used to eat it all the time in the summer. And I immediately was like, well, I don't eat soup in the summer. Like, why would I? And she, of course, her and my father just looked at me funny and then moved on. Like a lot of times in my life.
And I always associate it with a comfort food. You know, when it's cold, when I'm feeling sad, grilled cheese and for me, growing up, it was always tomato soup. That is what you have grilled cheese with.
Yeah.
I've come to find out that is not the only soup that you have.
Well, I didn't like tomato soup, so I had to go with something else.
Yeah.
It was chicken noodle.
That's right. Yeah, chicken noodle.
It was chicken noodle and grilled cheese. That's what we had.
No, it's always tomato soup, right?
That's how my mom feels.
So weigh in, text us, give us a call, let us know. Is it tomato soup? Is it
chicken noodle
soup with your
potato chowder?
But I mean, often we think of soup and we don't have just soup. You have soup with crackers or soup with bread or soup with a biscuit or something, right? What are some of those other combinations that we think of? You know, when I was putting this together, I was thinking peanut butter. Very few people have just a peanut butter sandwich.
That's
true. Always partner it with something, right?
Right.
Most commonly, it's jelly. Sometimes it's marshmallow fluff. Sometimes it's banana if you're Elvis.
Nice.
And to be fair, a lot of people like bananas and peanut butter. So,
and
yeah, that's very popular.
Yep. So what are some of the other ones that we associate growing up? You know, there was a great commercial that was out for a specific product. You got your peanut butter in my chocolate. You got your chocolate in my peanut butter. We know that those go really well together.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much vegetables this is with, like where people, so many vegetables, they only time they eat them is when they're with another vegetable or with a certain way or certain thing.
Carrots and peas, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So
they actually have cans of carrots and peas together, right?
Right.
And you say we're close, like carrots and peas,
peas
know, that's
carrots.
Something.
Yep.
So I don't know if people actually eat like eating carrots and peas or not.
Maybe that was so that those that wouldn't eat the peas could have the carrots, and those that ate the carrots, you know, you.
Well, maybe it was, yeah. And then you swap. Here, yeah. You want my carrots?
There
yeah, I'll take your peas. Yeah, there you go.
I get that.
And there are some other great combinations out there that may not be associated all the time together, but just taste great when we put them together. Things like olive oil and tomatoes.
Mm. Right? Oh, that's true. Yeah,
that's the base for bruschetta.
Bruschetta,
and I
yeah.
love me a good bruschetta mm-hmm. on yes. top of toast. Yes. Bacon and maple.
Oh, the sweet and salty
yeah.
together in a very very good mix.
This might seem odd coming from me, but steak and potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
A, that's a good one.
That's a great point. I wanted people to think out there, the people that like steak, can you think of it without some kind mm-hmm. of potato with it? Even
right.
if it's like French fries or something, because I know people like French fries and steaks, but mm-hmm. mashed potatoes, baked potato.
Right.
Would it be the same without?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's an excellent.
Tater tot, something.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Some kind of potato, right?
Fish and chips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
French fries with fish. It's a mm-hmm. great one.
I'll eat, especially teenage me, I'll eat fries as like dinner, you know?
Yes, yes.
But I think for a lot of people, you're not going to have a burger without fries. You're not going to have fries without a burger. Like, you know, the two.
They are very well connected. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Even having something that's not quite, that's close, mm-hmm. like hot dog and fries. Well, no,
yeah.
you can eat a hot dog without fries,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's no
yeah.
problem.
I need
right.
nothing but the hot dog.
I'm yeah, fine. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But with that burger, man, it makes it so
right,
hard.
Right. You're right.
Without
and
the French
cheese
fries.
In general, right? I often associate eating cheese with something else,
whether
it be
yeah.
crackers yeah. or in mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about meatballs, spaghetti and meatballs, right? I heard
oh,
you guys
yeah.
talking about spaghetti
oh, yeah.
earlier. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't necessarily have to be green.
Well,
it depends on the type of meatball, right?
Right, yeah.
Seth makes a great Swedish meatball, but again, we don't eat just the meatball.
No,
with mashed potatoes.
With
right?
mashed potatoes. Again, and now that's something for me that would be very strange, having Swedish meatballs without mashed potatoes.
Mm.
Just by themselves, that'd be very weird. But, you know, but you wouldn't do that with Italian meatballs, right?
Mm-mm.
Those
no.
are different.
Yeah.
Can you think about eating those with mashed potatoes? That's
yeah.
kind of weird,
oh my
right?
God, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
with pasta, perfect. You know,
right.
there you go.
My nana, the ghost of my nana would show up and be like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Stop that. I got excited, Beth, because when you were talking about that, I hadn't thought of just pasta in general.
Mm-hmm.
You don't eat pasta just alone.
Nope.
You
no.
eat, at the very least, you put it in some butter or something.
Yeah, some salt.
Right. Marinara
yeah.
or
yeah.
something
right.
like that. Like,
Parmesan
I hadn't really thought
cheese,
about that.
That's
yeah.
a big thing in our house.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
have pasta without the Parmesan cheese,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep. That's kind of mac and cheese, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of.
In a way,
sort of.
Isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
A little different form, but yeah.
Well, there are also some interesting different food combinations that are out there that I hadn't thought of before. When I tried to do some research on this, there's not a lot. There's not been a survey about what foods we often associate with each other.
Because we take it for granted, I guess, yeah.
But I did find an article with 10 quirky food pairings that we could possibly try.
Oh, okay. Let's try it. Yeah.
How about sharp cheddar and peanut butter?
Let me think here. Oh, I could see that. Yes.
Mm. No, you've tried peanut butter and it does pair well with a lot of things. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
some people put cheese on apple pie.
That's right.
To me, that's a quirky thing. That's not something I ever grew up with, but I'm not going to deny that maybe that tastes good.
Well, think about this way. One thing that we do put on pie more consistently now, whipped cream,
mm-hmm.
which is a dairy product. I mean, it's very similar, but the big debate on that one for apple pie is it American cheese or is it cheddar cheese?
Yeah.
Which one do you see? Now, that's the big debate.
There you go.
People who still do that. I don't know if many people do that anymore.
We need to be doing our own survey.
Yeah.
Another quirky one was steamed broccoli and mayonnaise.
James, I was nodding your head. I'm like, wait a minute here.
I'm trying to be a good teammate and just, you know, the first rule of improv, always say yes.
Yeah,
so
that's true. That's true. That's true.
Well, see, growing up, my sisters, I love broccoli. I have since I was little. Little green trees, I did not mind eating. But the way that my mom got us to start doing it in the first place was she always put a cheese sauce on it.
Okay.
So mayonnaise is that
sauce,
creaminess
yeah.
as well. It's made more with eggs than it is with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a dairy product.
True.
Right?
That would,
so
yep.
that one kind of makes a little bit more sense.
I don't really eat broccoli, but anytime I hear the word broccoli, I do think of Dana Carvey singing broccoli,
yes.
broccoli,
yes. chopping broccoli.
I do like that
yes.
part. I do like
yes.
that.
The next one kind of got me, and I'm like, I don't know about this one. It's popcorn and cream cheese.
Ooh.
You know, I've heard about sprinkling like mini chocolate chips in there, and we think of caramel corn, we think of kettle corn. I've never thought about cream cheese popcorn.
We have kind of, it's not a great word, but ghettoized popcorn, because it is such a versatile. Alton Brown did a whole episode on popcorn, and there's so much you can do with it. You can use it as cereal, breakfast cereal. If you don't salt it, you can just, you know, pour a little sugar, put some milk.
Wild.
You can eat popcorn as cereal.
It's wild.
So it's so versatile. We just don't use it that way.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm.
So, well, and what are popcorn balls? Remember?
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly.
During the holidays. Yeah. So, you know, what binds that together? Maybe it's the cream cheese. Yeah, who knows?
No, that's true.
Another pairing that they gave us is sushi and coffee.
Huh.
I have not experienced that.
We have not.
But now I'm going to have to try, see what it's like.
You got to wonder, too, though. Are they just like, nobody's going to try this. We'll just go throw this out there. We'll just throw it out there.
Where's the adventurous eaters?
They got to fill out the article. We just need one more idea.
How about Parmesan and dark chocolate cookies?
Huh.
Ooh.
Mm. So it's just bitter. A different type of cheese, because we talked about a couple episodes back.
Chocolate and cheese.
Brownies.
Mm-hmm.
So chocolate and cheese.
They do go well together. Yes, that's true.
That's the first one, and one of the first of many that I've heard of these kind of things. It's usually a combination of something I like and something I don't like. I love both of those things. So that one, I feel like I almost have to try that.
Give it a try. Yeah. You never know.
How about peanut butter and chocolate cake?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Right?
That's not so bad.
Chocolate and peanut butter. Again, two things that go really well together.
All right. Potato chips and tuna salad.
Ah.
Yep.
Put them in a sandwich.
Totally.
I've seen people do that before.
Totally see that. And
James,
I think it'd be fun.
Is not sold on this one.
Well, I don't know what he feels about with tuna fish. So.
Yeah, tuna fish. Yeah,
I was going to say, you may not be a fan of tuna.
It's the smell. The smell. I can't do it. And to be fair, both my nana papa, my mom and dad love it. So I just grew up hearing smelling it so much.
That would do it.
Actually, I just had a phenomenal tuna melt at El Cafe last week. Mm. They know how to do it well, I'm telling you. Chex Mix and cereal treats. So we think about the Chex cereal and the cereal bars, but this is the mix stuff.
The seasoned stuff, right? Yeah,
and things like that as a treat.
Yeah.
So that sweet and sour, that sweet and salty kind of combination. So
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Yep. Brie and chili crisp.
Wait a minute. So I know what brie is. Chili crisp?
Yeah, that's what
it is. I don't know what that is.
Okay. Literally, serving a creamy, tangy French cheese with spicy, savory chili crisp is one of the favorite combos. So
it's find out how to make
a
it.
Crunchy chili condiment. So it's kind of like a chili chutney kind of thing.
Oh,
is
weird.
Wild. Is saying. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I want to make that. I want to try that. Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Right.
I'm intrigued. Yeah.
Oreos and Cheez-Its.
Ooh.
I have one at home that might just dive right into this one.
Anders loves both.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, he
Cheez-Its
might try
are
that
great.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Cheez-Its.
Yep. So sometimes
I'm the cheesiest coach.
So those are just 10 different combos that maybe we would never have put together, but could be good. And the kitchen is a great place to experiment and things like that.
Did have a listener text in Swedish meatballs with egg noodles.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. You're stretching me. You're stretching me.
How about a tuna sandwich with sour cream and onion chips and pickles?
Oh, that would work. That would work really well.
Those are great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the chips on the sandwich, too.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or you use the chips you use the tuna salad as a dip.
A dip, right. That would work, too, with the pickles. Yeah.
Dip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So, excellent.
Yeah,
good
some
stuff. Great suggestions
ideas out there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Keep them coming. If you have any ideas, please text me. You can text in the text line. Let us know what those ideas are. You can email me, beth.habhager, that is Habhegger. Thank you, honey, at civicmedia.us. And give us a call. Let us know. I would love to hear the things that you want to hear about so that we can bring these to you. And another good pairing in life and at our station would be your business and our segment. So we'd love to have the opportunity to have you as a sponsor where we will highlight your business, as you just heard that we did with El Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have the opportunity to be interviewed and have us present this segment live from your business.
If you're interested interested in pairing with us, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300. 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right.
Another great
fun one.
Yeah. That was great, Beth. Nice
Thank
work.
You.
Very
Thank
nice
you.
Work. Be listening every Monday right in this time slot, everybody, for another episode of The Kitchen's Open with Beth Habhager. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Want to send a big shout out to Beth Habhager and the nice work she does every week with The Kitchen's Open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear me shouting at my radio?
Yeah.
No, we did not, but your all caps text came through loud and clear.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It got stuck. I'm sorry.
It got stuck.
No, the garlic, the crunchy garlic chili sauce. Well, I have one that's got garlic in it, too.
Oh, okay.
So good.
See,
so
now I want to try it now.
It's an amazing condiment with so many Asian dishes. It would be fantastic over cheese.
Oh, ooh, now I really want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go.
We dive into entertainment news now. Dolly Parton has made her first public appearance since the passing of her husband, Carl Dean. On Friday, Dolly attended a special event for Dollywood season pass holders in Tennessee. It should be noted that nobody expected her, including her fellow employees and stuff. I should say fellow employees because that's the way Dolly puts it. Her fellow employees, not her
employees, right? Yeah. Her workers, right?
So nobody expected her to be there, and everybody was understanding about it. And just as importantly, the people that showed up, like the fans that showed up, didn't expect her to. Mm-hmm. But she still showed up. She thanked fans for their cards and flowers and said, "Of course, I'll always love him, and I'll miss him, but I wanted you to know that I will always love you."
Aww.
Dollywood is celebrating its 40th anniversary season this year.
Wow.
Is
amazing.
Forgive me, everybody. I really do say this with apology and trying to say it with respect. Is Graceland still open and running?
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You can still do tours there. Yep.
Can, like, regardless how you feel about Elvis or Dolly or any of this stuff, can we just kind of admit that, I should say, to me at least, I think that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's kind of cool that those things still exist, that they're still something and that they matter. And in this day and age where if you want to know something about either one of those individuals, I Google it, I look it up.
You got all the information right there. Yeah.
But people still want to actually be there and actually experience these things and stuff.
Yeah, it's a type of like theme park sort of thing that's kind of fallen out of practice because of those things you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's interesting. And when you look up the word class in the dictionary, you will see Miss Parton smiling back at you. She is the definition of that.
She is.
It's pretty cool. And I hope she's healing well.
Yeah.
Going on to another direction here. Doors fans, looks like Jim Morrison might be alive. He's been hiding out in Syracuse, New York, as a maintenance worker named Frank.
What?
At least that's according to a documentary called Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison.
Oh, my.
It's been on Apple TV Plus since January, but for some reason it's starting to get attention now. The movie claims Morrison faked his death and went into hiding, eventually meeting this guy Frank and assuming his identity. Frank, quote unquote Frank, actually speaks in the documentary and even has a scar in his nose where Morrison had a mole. In the movie, the filmmaker shows a picture of Frank to two of Morrison's ex-girlfriends, and they burst into tears at the resemblance. Because Frank looks an awful lot like Jim Morrison.
Okay, yeah.
He does. He looks a lot like him.
He sure does.
He is not him. He is not. I can save you all a lot of time, 2 hours or whatever of your lives.
Watching that documentary.
I will say one thing that's interesting to me is the fascination with the concept of this.
Yes.
For many, many years, I've had people trying to commit. I personally think that Tupac was the greatest rapper of all time.
Sure.
And a big, big fan of his. I've had people and, he's still around, or he's still doing this, or he's always doing, like, Can I say two things here? One, I don't begrudge people wherever they want to take their imaginations. As long as you ain't hurting anybody, that's fine. What I don't appreciate is when people try to take advantage of other people with that.
And that's a good point.
You know, hey, you want to find this so and so, you want to read about so and so. Well, watch my documentary, or watch my this, or buy my this, or something. That pushes me a little away.
It seems a little wonky. Yeah, a little.
But also, to all the musicians that we're talking about with this, whether it's Elvis or Jim Morrison or Tupac or whoever, I would imagine if you are an artist and you do this, it feels a little lame at this point. Like, it's been done, you know? And there's a whole movie on this. There's Eddie and the Cruisers. It's never going to be done better than the movie Eddie and the Cruisers. Like,
you're only saying that because you've seen it 6,000 times because of your dad, right?
Okay, yes, 100%. I do love the idea of, like, trying to pull this off if you are Jim Morrison or Elvis or any of these things.
I mean, seriously.
Like, I kind of almost, like, there's a part of my curiosity that just can't help itself with the idea of, like, if this actually, like, just once. If this actually were, like, this has been a theme and a theory that we've thrown around about artists forever.
Yeah.
Like, even before Elvis, this is something that was.
Yeah.
But there's no rhyme or reason behind it. It's not as if, you know, so-and-so had been hiding for 30 years and it turns out, you know, Paul Anka's alive. And, you know, and Paul Anka's been.
Well, it's such an
interesting
good
artist choice.
Line,
I love
though.
That.
It's such a good plot line.
It is a good plot line.
And it's something that I think piques all of our imagination and our wish for, you know, the what we can't have. Someone to come back from the dead. Someone that we loved and looked up to and enjoyed how they entertained us. It would be fantastic. Is it possible? That would take a lot of dedication from someone who had a successful career and was like, nope, I'm just going to check out for 30 years. I'll come back when I'm old and wrinkly.
Yeah, right,
bye.
Yeah. Well, how about this, Melissa? It's the idea that having secret knowledge.
Yeah.
Really, that's why conspiracies are so prevalent. Conspiracy theories. Having that secret knowledge. And again, this has been something since the dawn of humans. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the secret knowledge that it may not change anything. But it's because I have it, and that means I know. You know, I know and you don't know, and I've got the secret. Yeah, that kind of stuff. So
I think an interesting note, too, is what Melissa says about how it's tough for us to let go of these individuals sometimes. And
for sure,
it just helps sometimes the healing process of thinking, you know, Tupac died really young and you know, pointlessly. But maybe he's off in Hawaii, you know, just growing his hair out and having Drossa dreads or I don't know. You know, I mean, it helps sometimes for people with this because we have no actual we're not going to the funeral. We don't really know that. So our mourning, that mourning process is very different than the people that really know them.
Yeah, his actual family and friends.
Again,
right?
I don't begrudge anybody any of this stuff unless you're trying to take advantage of others or you know,
hurting other people. You know,
Making a buck off of somebody's grief.
Legacy, yeah.
You're just sitting there wanting to talk about it with your friends or anything. I see no problem with that. I mean, that is what it is.
Oh, you're okay with that? Well, then, James, I've got... No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, boy.
As long as you're not over-sensationalizing it, you know? That's the thing.
Yes.
You're like... Elvis is alive.
It's going to be a
find
very
out
long.
At five.
Yeah, right. By the way, Paul Anka is still alive. So
yes, Paul Anka is still alive. Paul Anka is fine. It's also noteworthy. But you're right. Melissa used the perfect word for it, sensationalizing. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I was trying to think of it earlier. That's a good word.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to share this good story of the day with everybody. And this comes to us from sfgate.com, a wonderful website, wonderful paper. SFGate, I encourage you to check that out. A youth theater production rises from the ashes of the Los Angeles fires.
Oh, my.
Oh, right.
So the day after her house burned down, Laura Gans sent a group message to the youth theater troupe she runs that they would not let the Los Angeles firestorm stop their upcoming show. Quote, so many of our castmates have lost everything, wrote Gans, the director of the youth theater production. We will continue with rehearsals. I am confident we will find a stage.
Okay.
The devastating January 7th fire gutted every inch of the 125-seat Pearson Playhouse from the basement to the roof, leaving behind only one mangled steel skeleton. Many of the young actors watched on TV as their homes and their fellow castmates' homes burned down. About half of the show's 45 cast members, aged 8 to 17, lost their homes and can't yet return because of severe damage.
Right.
Oh, my. Awesome.
But the show did go on. A two-week run of the musical Crazy for You opened in a nearby school auditorium, making a triumphant return to the stage for a community determined to see its theater rise from the ashes.
Wow. Amazing.
So amazing.
The experience not only lifted the youth performers of the Theater Palisades youth group, but the community in general.
Yeah. I can totally see that. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a quote from Callum Gans, 17, the director's son. The first time I felt happy after the fire was when I walked into the first rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. It is the power of performing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And coming together, man, it's
the show
remarkable.
Must go on, and they really took it at its word.
Yeah. Took it to heart. They absolutely did. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite phrases, and it's an important one, I think, but it's also probably never been more noteworthy, I think.
I'm telling you.
I've used it a billion times, but I've never used it accurately like these people are. And on top of that, when they posted some things on social media about this, parents took to social media and posting pleas for donations. They were met with an outpouring of generosity from artistic communities stretching from Hollywood to Broadway.
Nice.
Emmy award-winning hairstylist Joey Zapata saw one of the posts, emailed the mother who wrote it to make sure it wasn't a scam, and then put out a call to her friends in the business world.
Wow.
Quote, I have done horror films with 100 extras running down the Pacific Coast Highway, but this time the story was real and it blew me away. So her and some other hair and makeup people came down and gave the kids all of this.
Like a professional thing. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And we're wonderful. Broadway actress Carrie Butler, a Tony nominated and winner of Beetlejuice and so many other things. She was down there coaching the kids and then sat in the audience and watched the shows.
Oh, man. Can you imagine those kids?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Man.
Wow.
That's something they will never forget. Man, triumph in the face of adversity. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no better story than that.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Really isn't.
That's fantastic.
It's the power of theater, the power of the arts, and how they can bring us together.
Oh, so much.
Yep. We will take a quick time out, get to our news, sports, and partner break. We'll be coming back with some more fun. We've got to get into how many episodes does it take to know if you like a show? And we got to talk about a local name, the Big Mac guy. The Big Mac guy had a milestone.
Oh my
we got to talk about that. Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Got a couple of fun topics we'll get to in a moment, but Seth, you had our text line going on.
Yeah, a couple of things here I wanted to throw out there. Patrick from Wisconsin Rapids sent us a limerick in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Now, I checked it out. It's okay to say on the air, okay?
I was ready with the censor button. I was ready.
Just in case. So here we go. There was a tired worker on staff who could barely muster a laugh. When we asked him why, his answer seemed dry. He replied that he only drank decaf.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
My mom and dad love those. I'm going to share that with my parents later. That's great. Thank you, Patrick.
And then after she left, Beth also texted in another movie for everyone to check out on St. Patty's Day. It's set in Ireland, not necessarily St. Patrick's story. It's called Circle of Friends, starring Minnie Driver and Chris O'Donnell.
I forgot about that one.
Yes.
I love Minnie Driver.
Yeah, she's good.
I was in high school, I think, when that came out, and I was a gigantic Minnie Driver fan, so I remember that one. Yeah. It's
fabulous.
A good one. Nice job, Beth. Nice.
Yep.
We'll talk a little bit more about episodes and that in a moment, but we got to touch on this one real quick because this is a local guy we got to get to here. 71-year-old Don Gorski of Wisconsin just hit another milestone. You might remember him as the Big Mac guy.
Mm-hmm.
He had his first Big Mac in 1972 and loved it so much he ate two more. Then he went back the same day and ate six more, so nine total, and he hasn't stopped since then. He has averaged two Big Macs a day for 53 years.
A day?
A day.
What? Does he eat anything else?
It's a good question.
That is a good question.
And he hit 35,000 on Saturday.
Wow.
He did it at the same McDonald's in Fond du Lac where he found the first Big Mac.
How about that?
I hope they give him a plaque.
They have done that. Yes.
Fans, he deserves it.
They've immortalized his seat, I believe.
Yes.
Because
yes.
we talked about him before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I think,
I
the
must
second
have not been on that day. I don't remember this.
He even handed out commemorative buttons and coupons for a free value meal.
Oh, that's really cool.
He's been open about having OCD and says it's why he's so obsessed with them.
Okay.
He claims that they make up at least 90% of his diet, so he walks 6 miles a day to make up for it.
See? I was right. 90% of his diet, because yes. that's a lot of calories.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. It, he keeps in shape. Look at that.
That's impressive. That is
impressive. Wow.
Wow.
And part of the reason that he has, come out with this story and everything is to bring some, open-mindedness to OCD and the struggles that people yep. have with that.
Yeah.
To the point of, it's not just the burgers, but you mentioned that 6 miles he walks, he has to walk that. Like, it's part of his
condition.
As obsessed as he is with the burgers, he is just as obsessed with 6 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He earned a Guinness World Record in 1999. After 15,000 Big Macs, and he takes his record very seriously. He claims he's saved every receipt in every Big Mac container.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Does he have an extra room in his house?
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, there's no question. They can just count the boxes, and they'll know exactly how many he ate. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He actually had to dial it back last week to make sure he hit 35,000 on the nose. In the 3 days leading up to it, he only had one Big Mac.
Oh.
And congratulations to him, not only on this, of course, but on everything.
That's fantastic.
We got to get him on Midday Magazine, Pam.
Oh, that's
we got to get him. I want to get
and,
him on.
You know, if I have to order something at McDonald's, I go for a Big Mac every time.
Mm. Yeah.
That's my go-to sandwich at McDonald's.
I'm telling you, well, because it's, that it's so consistent, tastes the same. So I'm guessing that's one of the reasons why it's been good for him. So, wow, that's amazing.
And it's a really easy thing to ask for without cheese.
That's true.
Thanks, McDonald's.
It should be noted as well, also amazing sideburns on Mr. Gorski. Amazing.
Oh, I haven't seen. I never saw a picture of him.
Amazing sideburns.
I'll have to look them up.
Nice.
Got an interesting one here. There's a new study based on IMDb ratings, where IMDb, for those that don't know, is Internet Movie Database. And it found out that you should give a new show an average of 6 episodes to get good.
Whoa, okay.
6?
That seems like a lot. That's a big commitment for me.
Here are 12 shows that took a while to hit their potential and the number of episodes it took to reach its potential.
Okay.
So interesting. Just conversation, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Breaking Bad, 6. Doctor Who, 6. Friends, 7.
Ooh.
South Park, 8. Seinfeld, 16.
That one makes sense to me. That actually makes sense, yeah.
So does South Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, 8. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 8. Community, 7. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, 6. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 13.
That one I believe as well, because I was one of those people that took a while to get going on it.
The 100 took 100? No, 9.
Nice.
And BoJack Horseman with 8. There is a complete list of much more here and everything, but we're just giving you a kind of a barometer here of what it is.
Right.
I'm really bad at this. When I was younger, I was fine with it. Mm. But the older I've gotten and the more I work and the more
busy I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so tough. Like Breaking Bad for me, it's funny that it showed up on this list because this is my number one example of this. That's an amazing show done with amazing production, amazing writing, with fantastic actors that I love. I will watch everything these guys do. Those main big actors from the show and everything, big fans, seen two episodes of Breaking Bad. That's
I couldn't get past the first one.
I couldn't. Yeah. The first, and honestly, after the first episode, I thought it was so good. I'm like, well, I'm good. Like, I thought the first episode was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. No.
Now, on the other side of it, the first two episodes of Criminal Minds, I watched every episode of that series just because of those first two episodes.
Wow.
It was an amazing show that had amazing episodes and amazing writing, but it never got better than those first two episodes for me. Mm. It was like a movie. It was right. The way that they ended the first one going into the next one, and it was so well done. It's when TV is done right like that.
Right.
In certain shows, I think what Melissa was touching on there was really important too, because it's not just the fans that got to get their bearings, but the writers that got to figure this out.
Oh, I totally believe I have the theory of TV writing, or not even I mean, I think this is the issue they had with radio back in the day, the same kind of thing. You got to get your sea legs, man.
Right.
So you got to get them to like at least like the middle.
The
of the second season is usually when they start finding their voice kind of thing. And then they can go. I mean, occasionally shows can just right off the bat, you know, and just shoot off. That's
Community
rare.
Was like that for me.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Love that show.
That was the one I was going to use as the best example, I think, of this.
Sure.
Is that pilot
totally
episode
sense, yeah.
And the way that it grew after that pilot episode, where the writers, this is another thing that I think is incredibly intelligent. When the writers, Dan Harmon, one of my favorites, and so many others, decided, well, we've got all these amazing, talented actors here. We're going to let them do some of the writing, too. We're going to work with them. We got Joel McHale, I think one of the funniest TV actors of all time. All time. One of my favorites of all time. Whether it's Talk Soup or it's the million shows he's done. Mm-hmm. He's in a show right now that's really good. I love Joel McHale. Big, big fan. And they let him in the writing room more. And then Community grew into what it was, I think, one of the best TV shows I've ever seen.
Maybe it's Dan Harmon.
Dan Harmon's huge in this.
He also did that with Rick and Morty, because that was another show that just bam hit the ground running.
I'm going to express an unpopular opinion here. You didn't mention it on the list, but Games of Thrones is one that's very like Breaking Bad for me. I couldn't get past the first episode, and it was so hugely popular, and everybody's like, "Oh, you just have to keep watching," and I'm like, "No, I can't."
No,
I even tried listening to the book. I bought the audiobook, and I couldn't get past chapter 3.
I was the exact opposite, Melissa. I had read several of the books before it came out, and I gave up at one point because I was like, this is dumb, and I got tired. But I did the same. I watched the first episode, and I watched half of the second, and I was like, nope, I'm done. I don't need to watch it anymore.
This is why we're hate mates, Seth. This is why. It's what brings us together.
That's right. Our hate.
But just between us, I only watched Game of Thrones because my sister needed somebody to talk to about it.
I believe that. Believe that.
I thought that there was a lot of good acting, but I thought the writing was just too much, and that they were trying too hard.
Yeah.
And
well,
it
books
felt
are
a
like
little
that
bit
too.
Similar. It felt a little similar to some of the other things I've heard about Martin. Where it.
And then you get rid of one of your best actors. You know,
yes,
you get rid of Sean Bean, what are you doing?
Yeah, you can't.
Don't get rid of Sean Bean.
So Seinfeld, it was so much about this on the other side, where they had an idea and they were going to stick to it, but the audience, it took a while to kind of get into
Absolutely, it did, yeah.
And when you watch those really early episodes, it's like, what is this?
Yes, exactly.
Even with all the history we have now. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you see those first ones, it's just kind of like, whoa.
I'm not familiar with this type of, yes.
I don't know. I think it's a good note on just in general, giving shows a chance. But to
Netflix.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa. God, thank you, Melissa, because you did. That's exactly where I wanted to wrap with this.
Just jacked up their prices again, too.
While it's important to certainly to audiences and everything, I think that to the creative community, when you give people an opportunity to breathe and a chance to grow, you get great work. All of these shows we mentioned, whether you out there like them or not, are incredibly popular.
Mm-hmm.
Made those businesses a lot of money.
A lot of money.
It's just smart business to give things a chance to breathe. Mm-hmm. Whether we're talking about sports or entertainment or whatever it might be, things need a chance to learn how to do what they're doing and adapt. Nobody is great at anything when they first start out. Michael Jordan didn't learn dribbling, or he wasn't a perfect dribbler the first time he picked up a basketball.
Of course not.
I mean, you got to give people a chance to breathe and grow. At the same time, I think it's also understandable to how much of a leash you give.
Right. Of course, now shows are only 10 episodes long. So if you give them six, you might as well finish it.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
We will take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day.
We hope you are having a great start to your week out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, Seth, Melissa, and James here. We're going to wrap up the show, take it to the top of the hour, get into our schedule here, and plenty more while we're at it. Got some good stories and other things to share. But do want to encourage you to stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up.
Yeah.
Join Jane and Greg. Got a great way to lead you into the noon hour. Looking for some fun there. A little bit later today, we'll have Midday Magazine for you from 4 to 5. And today we are going to be kicking off something, our spring candidate interviews.
Yes.
So behind the scenes, for weeks now, Pam has been working very hard with a lot of our local candidates to work out a schedule where they can come in and I can talk with them and do what WFHR has done for 80 plus years. Each candidate, we ask the same candidates, the same questions as their other candidates. We give them all equal time and are trying to play them in equal times of the day.
Yes. We're trying to make sure everything is as even as possible. Right.
I do want to thank every one of these candidates for coming in and putting up with my questions and everything. We've got some great individuals out there, and I want to use this as well as an opportunity to remind everybody that government runs from the people, that we, the people, no matter how, whether we're talking local government or state government or national government.
Doesn't matter.
It is about the people, we the people. And these individuals that are with us, whether you agree with them or not, are taking time out of their day to be a part of this. And we thank them. I appreciate every single one of these individuals. Today in Midday Magazine at 4 o'clock, we'll be talking to Vito and Carl and Tim, who are all running for Town of Rome Supervisor, and Mark, who is running for Town of Mark, who is running for Town of Rome Supervisor. So that will be that part for part one and part two today.
Nice.
And then on Tuesday in the 5 o'clock hour, we will, from 5 to 6, we will have those running for Port Edwards Village President, Wisconsin School Board, and Port Edwards School Board, and Rome Board Supervisor.
Okay.
We'll be having those individuals, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow when we'll be playing it.
Yes.
But be on the lookout for these, everybody, and we will also be doing some more with this. And we have a couple more candidate interviews to come yet. After that, we'll have Playmakers for you from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us for it. Want your sports takes and feelings, everybody. Big sports weekend with the NCAA bracket being announced. Local teams got plenty to talk about today. Go ahead and join us from 5 to 6, Monday through Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for Playmakers. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods for sponsoring it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the show, joining Melissa and I, we're going to have Jeremy Schmidt stopping by. He's going to be talking about Sand Slicer. And I got a great business, part of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. One of the things we do with new chamber members, bring them on and get to know them a little bit.
It's always fun.
I can't wait to hear what that is about.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
New invention,
Looking forward to it. And remind everybody about some local events going on in our area. Like tomorrow, we got a blood drive happening.
Yeah.
Be a blood drive from 10 to 3 tomorrow over at the Wisconsin Rapids former Eastern Junior High room at room 111 at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage you to find out more by going to communityblood.org and make plans tomorrow from 10 to 3 to stop on by and donate.
All right.
Indeed.
And Seth, we had some other things.
A couple more things to get to. Yeah, on Wednesday coming up here at the the Seventh-day Adventist Church at 611 24th Street North. They have a free community meal from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. Doors open at 4:15. So avail yourself of that coming up on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the big show, everybody. We've got Mr. Michael Cavanaugh playing the music of Billy Joel and Elton John. You're going to want to get your tickets today, everyone. Go to savorthearts.com. Pick your seat. Find out how many tickets are available still. I'm sure this one is going to be a very popular show. So get your tickets right now. That one's coming up on Thursday, the 7:30, I believe, is when it starts. Yes. It's there somewhere. Yes, there it is, 7:30. this Thursday at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids. So get your tickets today, everyone. It's going to be a great show.
And you want those tickets, call up right now, 715-424-2600. I got two tickets right here. Just give me your one of your favorite you know, theater shows, favorite plays, something like that. Doesn't have to be Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, extra points if it's a Broadway show. But regardless, we just want to hear one of your favorite plays and get these tickets in your hands so you can make plans to see Mr. Kavanaugh this Thursday at the Performing Arts Center. Shout out to Sally, Eric, and all of our friends. And a shout out to Michael for joining us on Midday. What a great interview, you guys. He was fun.
Yeah, he was really good.
Really, really a humble guy, too. Mm-hmm.
And if you missed it, you can check that out on WFHR.com.
Yeah. Head on over there. Bookmark that page, everybody.
Yes.
The Portland Trailblazers have been testing out a new device that helps visually impaired fans enjoy live games. They recently became the first NBA team to add one-court devices. They're little pads that vibrate and tell you what's happening. There's also an audio feed that pairs with it. They have five of them available for free at home games. Oh. A kid named Hank Vogel recently got to try it and loved it. He said it's the first time he's really been able to enjoy a live sporting event.
How cool is that?
How awesome is that? Wow. Amazing.
Food scientists are working on a new type of grapefruit that doesn't mess with medications. People on some cholesterol and blood pressure meds can't have it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It also clashes with certain antibiotics and around 80 other medications.
Jeez. Whoa, I didn't know that.
I thought that was noteworthy.
Dangerous grapefruit.
Mm-hmm. Really? I didn't know. Yeah. And a study found playing with a dog for 15 minutes leaves you and the dog feeling less stressed.
Aww.
Very nice. They proved it by measuring cholesterol levels in saliva, interestingly enough.
Okay. But,
volunteer at the Humane Society.
Yeah.
You almost got it out.
And I don't know if it was the saliva from the individual or the dog. I don't know who they... Yeah, well, maybe both. And again, just want to send a shout out to all of our local teams and all the great work. Win or lose, we appreciate you. We love you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good stuff, guys.
And a great show today, you two. This is a great way to kick off the week.
Great St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Enjoy. Be good to each other out there. And we will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.